But I think the mom could have had a little more.
No, you do, because you be all about kids whooping up on the kids, bullying. I see it now.
What is the pattern of
behavior? Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sinji. With me, as always, my co-host, Herbie.
What's up, peoples?
Hi, Herbie.
How y'all doing? Hope everyone's doing fine this lovely day.
I don't have the voice to continue that conversation.
Dang, homie.
Thought you was my man, homie. But you
in high school, you was the man, homie. Yeah. In high school, you was the man, homie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I watched 5 episodes of 2 Year Eternity.
Did you? That's a first.
You right.
Excuse me, yeah. Did you... Well, you just skipped ahead. Do you have flavor this week?
No, I was just letting you know.
Oh. Well, that's good. About time you did something.
How dare you? Flavors this week. Do you have one?
The whole Ayana Koji, he got that dog in him. that whole episode, I liked him. Just what he did. His big brain plays, just coming out and just like, just planning and execution and yeah.
Master so, people reader.
Yeah, he is. I enjoyed him. I liked it very much. So that's my flavor lave.
My flavor might have been seeing Dogja Kim. I don't think I said that name right. I'm not good at pronouncing Korean names. In the webtoon The World After the Fall. No, he's in there because it's the creator of both shows is the same person. And I think theoretically speaking, they're not in the same world, but they're kinda like in parallel universes. So like In theory, if like enough one of them got enough power, they could pop up in each other's dimension or something like that.
Yeah.
Just because that's how the world is building, but like he came up in The World After the Fall as like a skin you can wear in this tower that you can climb. I was like, oh man, that it'd be cool to see him in here. It's more
getting there.
I enjoy reading Omniscient Reader more than The World After the Fall. But on a side note, my kid's into 2 Year Eternity.
Yeah.
Probably not the show I would want her to start watching anime on. Consider she started on episode 5. A little cheater. But
yeah, she skipped all the sad parts. Well, the first sad part.
I had to explain how he can turn into the different creatures.
Yeah, they explain more about that later on. Boy, howdy.
Oh, yeah. That's we're getting into like the nitty-gritty of him learning his abilities. But shall we proceed with... I guess 2 Year Eternity, if you would like.
Yeah, you gotta talk about it.
Okay, so let's mute this, because you know, I'm not writing 5 episodes worth of notes. So, episode 5, Those Who Follow. As always, each episode gives you a recap. This one happens to be okay. So, what's her name? Perona.
Yeah, the older one's Perona.
All right, Perona escapes with Marsh, and she even grabs the old lady, and she was telling them to go on ahead. so she can finish them on finish business. But Marsh, being the nosy kid, being a kid that never listens, and she was nosy. She looked back and saw the Perona wanted to cut off the bed's hair, the bear's head. Switched my DNR there.
DNR.
And Marsh was being very sympathetic with the bear and didn't want her to do that, so she opted to not do it. Now, the problem here is they started escaping, and of course, with the escape plan, they were running away. And Marsh, who was telling Perona not to get hurt, and even though Perona was having a full-on battle, the wagon was on fire, getting an arrow shot at them. Marsh, not listening again, didn't stay inside the wagon, and the poor girl took an arrow for Perona.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Perona carries her inside. She's unconsciously remembering how they first met, and like how Perona was always alone, and Marsh was always playing alone, and Perona made her a stuffed animal, and Marsh gave her, I think, mud balls, and that's how they, like, I guess, became sisters. Yeah. First became sisters. So they showed my girl's wound, and apparently she don't got no nipples. Perona patched her up, but she still needed immediate attention. She found the gift that Marsh had for her as a thank you, and they were still attacking the ship. So Perona grabs Marsh, and she jumps off the wagon to go towards Fushi, who jumped off the wagon after Marsh got shot, turned into the bear, and started attacking everyone. Perona brings Marsh to Fushi, and Marsh passes away. She turns into like a spirit form and sees that she's dead, and like she doesn't want to die. She's resisting it. Perona kind of has a mental break, and she goes to slice her own throat to be with Marsh. And Marsh is seeing her about to do this. She's trying to stop her, but Perona can't hear her. And that's when Fushi, with barely really any knowledge of life, stops her, and he looked pissed that she even attempted to do it. So Perona ended up continuing to live on. She brought Marsh back home. Wait, did she bring her back home? No, Marsh got buried. Perona brought Marsh's note back home to her parents, and it showed the handprint. The father was like, this is just a handprint. And she was like, it says, I'm okay, blah, blah, blah. And they broke down and thanked Perona for taking care of her. It should have been his job. And then Fushi went up into the forest by himself. That crazy girl that was chasing him and imprisoned him the first time had eyes on Fushi, was about to hit him with an arrow, but Perona shot her arm. She meant to take her head out, I think, or kill her, but she missed. And then we're going to go into episode 6, Our Goals. Fushi, while in the forest, meets up with the old hag again. And he walked into her as Marsh. He learned that he can, if he uses Marsh, he can obtain the food that he needs. If he uses the wolf or dog's body, he can get around more comfortably. He didn't really find use for his first owner's form. And the bearer form put him in pain due to all the wounds it had. Which I don't understand why, when he can turn into the people, he can't just heal the wound they have so it doesn't hurt.
That gets explained later.
So the lady goes on teaching Fushi, and Fushi actually, she was just following him at first, and I thought this was hilarious. She got really hungry and saw he was bleeding in the leg, so she tried to eat his leg. And she was like, come on, it's already wounded. You can grow another one. Just let me have a piece of meat. So Fushi turned into wolf and like got all defensive. Then he turned into marsh, climbed a tree, and ate a fruit. And then he started throwing fruit at her. And that's kind of when they decided to like stay together, and she decided to like teach him how to talk, teach him how to write, and they were like really bonding, eating fish, and she was just showing him like, this is a river, talking to him like a child, like you would need to a child. This is a river, that's a fish, this is a boat. And he was learning pretty quickly. So when they were sleeping, this wood creature, just straight up attacked Fushi and took the boy form. Then it attacked the wolf and took the wolf form. Some mysterious creature popped up while he was in the wolf form and explained, that thing is your enemy. I know you can't understand much right now, but you can understand this. That thing will keep trying to take from you and take from you until you have nothing left. You have to defeat it in its core. And at first I thought that the being was the same creature attacking Fushi, but it wasn't. So Fushi in his wolf form got absolutely skewered, and he ended up in bear form. In bear form, he got close to ripping out the core, and he got left with the marsh form. In the marsh form, he showed kind of crazy agility in the trees, like very, very good at maneuvering around the trees. And he jumped inside the core of the tree thing that kept turning into the last image that it took from Fushi. And she grabbed a hold of its core. Now, the tree being thing sensed that Fushi was grabbing its core and tried to yank him out, which ultimately helped Fushi take the core out too. And Fushi ended up getting all his forms back. So then he just looks back in a very blank face and asks, who are you? Because the old hag taught him how to speak. And the weird creature basically said, he's Fushi's creator. And then, you know, they continue on their journey to the old hag is bringing him to the booze man, who apparently knows a lot. And that's when we lead into episode 7, The Boy Who Wants to Change. And this one is this one starts off with two brothers. And boy, they have a master or whatever. And I guess they work in a field, and then in town they sell vegetables. This boy who's Gugu, who sells the vegetables that they grow, gets a little crush on this girl whose name I don't quite recall. Mm-hmm. But he continues to sell the vegetables. He finds a dog.
It's Ren.
What's up?
Her name's like Ren.
Oh, like, yeah, like Ren or Ryan or something like that.
Yeah.
He continues to sell vegetables and he finds a dog. She's yelling out for this dog, and Gugu notices that the tag says the dog's name. So he gives the dog to her, and she gives him a ring that her father bought her, but she didn't like the color, so she gave it to Gugu. Gugu didn't really care about the ring per se. He was more happy that she knew he sold vegetables, so like in his head, she saw him. When Gugu goes back home to give his brother good news, his brother leaves a note for him saying, like, he took the money and went off. He can't live like this. He's going to try to do something better with his life. So Gugu gets abandoned. He's undecided what to do with the ring. And it actually contemplates suicide and walk towards a... I don't want to call it a train, but for lack there a better word, lack thereof a better word, I'm going to call it a train carrying logs.
A train truck or something. It's like, or is it a train? You might just say train.
Yeah. A cart on tracks. One of the huge logs almost crushed him, and he realized that, like, he actually did care about his life. The log got stuck, and the man said, "Watch this. I'm going to go get some help." Well, the itty-bitty roots that was holding that giant log in place gave out, and Gugu saw that the log was heading towards Rain, we're going to call her. And so he ran and ran to try to help her and pushed her out the way and fell down a river or I guess it was a waterfall, but he didn't land in the water. So he fell on the ground and the log crushed his head. How he isn't dead, I don't know. But that's when our guy Boozman found him, gave him a face that I don't know how he can see with, and pretty much brought him back to life. And enter Fushi and the Old Hag. Fushi and the Old Hag come in, and like Gugu is, at this point, Gugu's been there for 3 months, and he's excited about having someone else that I guess seems like a child around. So he's showing Fushi around. And very quickly, as soon as they said they were staying there, Gugu goes, "If you're gonna be staying here, you gotta help with the chores. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. That. So they continued on living. And that's when Homegirl Rain comes into the shop one day, asking for ointment to fix a terrible wound that she got that needs to be covered up. She gets obsessed with Fushi. Gugu gets jealous of Fushi and sends Fushi to go do some work. And he kind of gets his heart broken because he realizes he can't really have her because his face and how much attention she's given to Fushi. So the old man says he's got to use his pain to make himself better. So Gugu starts working out. Fushi tries to work out with him because he sees him doing it, and he just kicks him. He's like, "No, you don't need to work out. Go away." And we enter episode 8, Monster Brothers. In this episode, Rain comes to work and live with the Booze Man, and everyone else. Gugu keeps trying to understand Fushi's abilities and trying to learn more about him, but Fushi answers, "I don't know," because he said, "If you don't know anything, just say, I don't know." During washing dishes, Fushi couldn't recreate something he saw, but with pain, they learned with pain, because he cut him, that he can recreate the things he felt. So he recreated a knife. Then, I thought this part was kind of, like, uncalled for. Like, even if he is immortal, he feels pain, so it's kind of insensitive. Cuckoo then holds his hand to fire, which Fushi did not appreciate, and ended up only recreating the stick. So he can't recreate fire. But what was interesting to me is he created the stick that went to the fire, even though it was the fire itself that hurt him. He still recreated the stick. Gugu
was... Yeah, because he touched the stick.
Yeah, Fushi was obviously hurt by this experiment, and Gugu made light of his feelings, said, "We're just experimenting. You don't have to be a baby about it. Just say you don't want to do it anymore." Fushi went outside and turned into his dog form and went to sleep outside. Rain was looking for Fushi, but no luck. Gugu Gugu found out through, because he asked old man Boozman if he had something that can help heal Rain's wounds. And the man says, hold still, unplugs his eye, puts in a tube inside him, and sucks out some very valuable alcohol and puts the tube back. So Gugu gets hurt that Boozman put some booze inside him and ran away.
Yeah, it was a Nakasinan experiment he did.
Yes. Gugu went back to town. He went back to his farm. He was working, but the problem is people didn't like his mask. His boss tried to invite Gugu to the family, but he said, you can't accept me as family if you don't even know what I look like. So he took his mask off. It made the one kid cry, and the other kid called him a freak. So that's when Gugu left the house. And he wanted to keep working, so he said he was going to come the next day. He was walking, and then three people grabbed his mask and threw it off. And that's when he decided he wouldn't need the mask anymore. He tried walking through town, but everyone was completely frightened and disgusted by his face. But regardless, he kept working on the field with that face till he was working out, and his master's son threw water on him and told him, we're not running a freak show. Don't come back and embarrass my father. Which, the message was good enough. He didn't need to wet Gugu. It's not his choice to have that face. So then he hid behind bushes, and Irby, in hindsight, 5 episodes is way too much to talk about.
That's why I said talk about the highlights and stuff that you would like to talk about or interest you.
Bruh, I'd be talking about like 2 parts of like 2 episodes.
Then that's fine.
But to steamroll this, Gugu wasn't really having luck. He found his brother malnourished and on the ground and gave him the ring and disowned his brother. Gugu was about to get abducted by, I guess, slave traders. That's when Fushi showed up to save him. They hung out together for a while in the tent till Rain came to go to get them. And this is after Fushi failed to cook for people to clean properly and do farming correctly. And Rain failed to cook for people. Her food might have been worse than Fushi's. So Gugu wouldn't come out about the mask. Fushi went to go get the mask. And in midst of talking, Rain showed Gugu his wound that he got from Gugu. And she doesn't know he's the one who did it, but it looked like a baby wound to him. And she doesn't know that he's the one to push her to save her from the log, and the log's the one that crushed him and made his face look like that.
Yep. Which comes up later in the story.
I hope she reacts. I hope she reacts good.
Oh, no.
Fushi gets the mask. He gets warned by the creator that he hasn't improved, and find out that Rain ran away from home because she feels like her life is being controlled and her parents are overbearing, which is completely opposite of how Gugu feels, that not enough is going on. He doesn't have enough of that parental love and control. So they try to, the lady found her and wouldn't get fooled by Rain's disguise. So Gugu runs away with Rain. Fushi turns into Marsh and pretends like he's hurt and dying. But another tree creature grabs a hold of Fushi and takes the Marsh form. The form he actually beat the last creature in. So let's see how he handles this one. The creator said, unfortunately, Fushi hasn't learned anything new since the last experience. I'm wondering if he's implying that the tree creature is learning new things and will try to use new methods to get completely take over Fushi.
Yeah, we'll see.
But other than the sometimes robotic sounding voice, Fushi's learning pretty rapidly. Something worth noting is he did, when Gugu was really, really hungry, Fushi focused and recreated food he's eaten. So I guess it explained that Fushi can create
inanimate objects. He can do stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's like a connection. Like, it opens a connection. Like, when he can turn into the people who die because he felt a bond towards them. He can recreate the food because he's eaten it. He's enjoyed it. He's savored it. He can recreate a weapon that hurts him because he feels the pain. So, like, he needs a deep, I guess, understanding of the... Or an understanding to an extent of what he's trying to recreate.
Yeah. In a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, wrapping that up there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There's, yeah, it's, I do enjoy the Fushi, like, you know, marched down. I was like, man, I was like, that was a sad one. I was like, she did all that trouble to save her from being ritually sacrificed, but she dies anyway.
Kids don't listen, man.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so it's good. Gugu, he has an interesting arc there. Fushi has a new arc, but yeah, his enemies, yeah, I guess they kind of just want to see Fushi burn. They don't really care about anything. But yeah.
Yeah, the creator said something about, like, bringing Fushi to try to save the world. And, like, the people the enemies Fushi has are against his plan.
Yeah. They just want the world to burn. Burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby, burn.
But yeah, so we're on to Classroom of the Elite, Season 3, Episode 5, Fortune Favors the Bold. So this episode starts, there's a fight brewing between Ryuzen's old crew and Hashimoto. People think Hashimoto's behind all those nasty rumors that's going around school. And so they're like, oh, we're going to fight you and whatnot. He's like, oh, no, it wasn't me. But it's something that's being done about it. So they all just kind of chill out. And we find out that Ichinose is going back to school today. And then some kid comes in and says, hey, class A and B, they're up to something. And so everyone rushes over to see. And it's the main villain coming to confront Ichinose. And so I think it was funny because she was like, oh, do y'all really want a criminal handling y'all's money? And it's like, oh, you can't prove any of that. Da, da, da. She's like, I have the proof right here. Which there's more about that I want to have a question for later.
Okay.
Yeah, Cyan Angie says that to her. Yeah, so they get to talking, and she's like, hey, if I'm saying anything wrong, Ichinose, that's not true. Stop me anytime. And then so Ichinose tells a story of her growing up, how they weren't wealthy, but they lived like a meager life. Like, I would say they were probably lower middle class, making ends meet, but barely. They only had enough, like, the survivable stuff, like, the food, and they didn't really get gifts and whatnot. Yeah, she's like, yeah, I got to get the scholarship because we really had no money to get to school, this, that, and the other. And she's in her third year of middle school when her mother collapsed. her mother collapsed because she was working so hard because she wanted to get her daughter, her Ichinose's sister, a pendant for her hair that she liked because her favorite pop idol star had it. And so, yeah, she just overworked, so she fell out. And then looking at her mom in the hospital, she was determined to get her sister to bow. So she went going around everywhere like, oh, we don't hire middle school. She's like, yeah, I can't do this. And so she couldn't get any work. And so she only has like 2,000 yen, which is like, it's like 1,000 yen is like $6. So she has like 12 bucks. And the pendant that her sister wants is 32,000 yen. And at the time of this recording, it is $212.68. So you could say it's probably like over $200 for that little pendant, which I feel like you could just make you one or a replica for that price. Yeah. So she was at the mall. She saw it. She's like, oh, man. And there was a sale that said like last day. But, you know, that's how they always get you, say, oh, last day. And then the next day they do the same promotion with a different title. And so she takes it and she gives it to her sister. And she told her that a friend gave her the money to buy it. When they went to visit her mother in the hospital, the mother knew. She was like, oh, you didn't buy it. But she just let it slide till they got home. And then she like slapped her real bad. And so her mother made her return it. And the store owner didn't press charges, which I'm like, how does second Angie know that she was a shoplifter? Like, there's no charges. If there's no charges, there's technically no proof. So I'm like, is she really a criminal? Like, was she the one? Did she like watch her steal it? Like, no one knew that. So like, she's not even a criminal. What'd you think about that part?
I mean, I guess no, because just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean you didn't do the crime, right?
I mean, it's only a crime if it's stored in a database.
Yeah.
So,
because isn't there? So, like, I don't know if it's been changed, but isn't there like a rule that says if X amount of time happens, passes
about expunging.
Is that what happens? Like, if X amount of time passes after a crime was done, you can no longer be convicted of that crime?
Statute of limitations.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, like, I guess technically she did something illegal, but I guess for it to be a crime, she has to be caught.
I mean, it has to be documented somewhere, but it was never documented in like the legal system. So it's no crime, I don't think.
Gotcha. I mean, one can argue that. No, like, it'd be easy to argue that.
Yeah, so it was like, she's not even a criminal. So I feel like that's like a fatal flaw in there.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah. So like, I find the whole premise on like creating the distrust for her very, unless they're going to build on it somehow, and like she's going to have someone in the inside that like is going to double cross her. It just seemed like a big, unless the point of this was just to show off Ayano Koji's, because she did say she didn't really care about Ichinose. That's her name, right? Ichinose?
Yeah.
She, Sakanyanagi, whatever her name is, did say she didn't really care about Ichinose. She really wanted to get Ayano Koji's attention, and I guess the whole thing with Ichinose was a good way to, for Ayano Koji to be a step ahead and show how he's always a step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it kind of almost seemed like a little detour to the current president, to council president or whatever guy who Hudakitsa's brother asked Ayano Koji's help for with.
Yeah. Yep. I forgot his name. Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, so Ichino says she felt guilty, so she shut herself away in a room. And so she just didn't start to care about school, whatever. And the mom's like, hey, don't give up on school. It turns out the class doesn't care. Then the student council and teachers come in and announce that anyone caught spreading rumors will be punished. And then we get a flashback to the time Ayano Koji and them had their conversation. And this was when my man was cold. He was like, He's like, I came here to hear your truth from you. He's like, so I already had a suspicion. And I was like, oh, my man knew everything. And so she told him stories. I can't face everyone else. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. He's like, just tell him, which probably would have been the easiest thing for someone to do. Just tell him what happened and say this, that, and the other. And that would have avoided the whole situation. So he said, you can't run away from your past. So confront it head on. And then so we get back to Ayano Koji talking to this.
I also think her mom could have handled it better.
Yeah, I mean, she had to slap her.
The slapping was okay, but like she didn't let her.
So you condone child abuse?
No, discipline is needed sometimes, but not in that situation. Hit a child
in the face? Yeah.
Hit a child in the face? No.
Child abuse is allowed, according to Senji. It's on record.
Discipline is something that is okay.
Nope. Slap child in the face, that's child abuse.
Listen. All I'm saying is the mom didn't have to leave her to her depression in her room. The mom should have understood the circumstances and what put her in that position, whether it was right or wrong, and tried to correct the issue with
Now you're saying stealing's okay too.
No, I said correct it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. You're just all over the place. It's kind of hard to pin you down.
Not really.
I don't know, man. Wouldn't be me.
I mean, according to you, it's not a crime, so. She didn't get caught.
Yeah. It wasn't a crime, per se.
Per se. Because
there's no proof.
So, who sounds sketchier here?
I don't sound sketchy at all.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the mom could have had a little more.
You know, you do, because you be all about kids whooping up all the kids, bullying. I see it now.
What is the webtoons I read?
Pattern of behavior. Yep, pattern of behavior.
Huh, interesting stories, bro.
You just like watching kids get beat up.
Nah, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, CPS is on your trail.
Listen, they can stay on my trail. They're not gonna see anything bad over here.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all say.
But to carry on.
Yeah. So. Ayano Koji's talking with Diana Naji about, he's like, yeah, your plan didn't really work. Like, you just brought me into it. Yeah, there's not really a reason for it. He's like, yeah. So I knew it was a ploy to get me all in there because the same can that your little underling gave me was one from a year ago. And he's like, there's no reason why she'd have the can unless you gave it back to her. And so she's, that's when he knew it all out. I was like, man. Which, now I looked at it, I was like, oh, he's looking at the bottom of the can. I was like, that's weird. So then she's like, oh, I just wanted to prepare a challenge. She's like, if you win, I'll leave the school. But if I win, I can just tell everyone that you're the Class B's mastermind. He's like, okay, whatever. And then so later on, Kushida and Ayano Koji meet up, and he pays her the informant fee. So he found out, like, he used her to find out who was saying what and information. And I was like, oh man, like, this man's really out there. He's real far ahead. And he just really did to see how credible her information was. And so now he's like, I can use this to work towards her expulsion.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh man. Yeah, then we get a bonus scene. So it's Aya Nakoji and Ichinose talking, and she's like, he's like, oh, if you ever feel down or whatever, he's like, you can come talk to me or whatever, I'll listen. And she also gives my boy chocolate. I was like, oh, my man got another one under the spell.
But she might be a little more forward with hers.
Where, yeah.
I forgot, what's homegirl's name?
You know, she just takes what she wants, man.
Yeah.
She's trying to take Aya Nakoji. Kurizawa is
Kurizawa, that's right. Yeah, she
she's
was sugarcoating it.
Yeah. So yeah. There it was. All time right. to continue.
Alrighty, Solo Leveling, episode 8. This is frustrating. So start off the episode with Jinyu sitting next to his mom, looking at the formula for the elixir life, and it telling him that all the ingredients can be found in Demon's Castle. Hold on, recapping here. Hunter Cha was going for a run, and then a scout from Yujin Construction approached her and offered her a position. Jinyu met up with Jinho again and accepted his proposal under the condition that they're the ones that do all 19 raids by themselves. And Jinho brought up the minimum hunter requirement, and Jinyu said, no problem, we'll just borrow a method from Dongseok Hwan and pay people to show up to fill out the headcount, but we'll be the only ones to enter. Jinho had doubts about it, but then Jinyu appeased to his business side. How does clearing 19 raids without any incidents sound? So he got enticed by the offer. Hunter Cha brought up to her guildmaster, whose name I forget, that she was approached by Yujin. And he says, I'm going to assume since you're bringing this to me, you declined them. She did. We see that the guy who lost an arm in the double dungeon was training somebody. And I think an A-rank hunter, when he got a phone call for a low-rank dungeon, the guy who... I think it's Kim, who left Jinyu to die, was chilling with his family, his daughter, and said his wife was basically telling him he shouldn't go on this raid, and he was saying, don't worry, the last one was a very rare occasion. The Hunter Association doesn't send their hunters on dangerous raids. So he goes... Juhi is talking to her mom, who's trying to get her to go back home because she's a timid girl and she's always been that way. And Juhi kind of flips out on her mom, who's just being concerned, and says, like, stop trying to make decisions for me. I can make my own decisions. So just drop it. And she hangs up. Jinyu, while, out and about, runs into... What is my man's name? I'm just going to call him One Arm. He runs into the One Arm dude, and they catch up.
I think it's Mr. Song or something.
It might be, but they all have similar sounding names, man. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, Chong Chi Yule.
Yeah. He noticed that Jinwoo wasn't missing his leg, and Jinwoo said when he woke up, it was back, which wasn't a lie. Then Jinwoo noticed the arm, said, it's fine. It's good someone young like you isn't missing an arm. They catch up with what everyone else is going to do to the raid. Juhi sees Jinwoo. They meet face-to-face for the first time. Kim and the other guy who was also there couldn't look Jinwoo in the eye. And that's when the Hunters Association shows up with, I think, 3 prisoners and a B-rank hunter from the surveillance team to keep them in line. Jinwoo gets a bad feeling about this, tells Juhi to not do this raid. She asks if he's going to do it. He says yes, and she's determined to go too because she wants to be around Jinwoo. That's when Kang Tashik introduces himself to Jinwoo, and the old man assumes role as the party leader. And then end of episode. Next episode we're probably gonna get the full on fight between Jinwoo and Tashik.
Yeah, at this point, has he ever showed his shadow powers yet? Because I feel like he had at least some by now.
No, not it's just they're kind of being weird with the pacing, but he doesn't get the shadow powers until he reaches level 40 and the system gives him a class quest. And that's like maybe he might be 10 raids in with Jinwoo at that point. Or Jinho.
Yeah, because I feel like he did the raids and he did them with his shadow minions. Because then the guy that portrayed him, wasn't he his one of his minions?
No, so I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Chul, I think, Hunter Chul. So when before Jinho and Jinwoo finished their raids, there was a moment where he went to, like, right after he got his Shadow Monarch abilities, he got summoned to the school. Or his sister asked him to go meet his teacher, and his teacher brought up Jinwoo's sister's friend, who's actually been coincidentally raiding with him and Jinho the entire time. And she hasn't been showing up to school because she awakened as a hunter and she was making easy money. So Jinwoo kind of felt a little responsible. So that's when they went on the White Tigers Guild raid for the trainees. And it turned into a Red Gate. And it was the party leader that ditched Jinwoo on the low ranks because it was a Red Gate. And when he came back, he was blaming all his failures on Jinwoo and the gang because they had stuff and they were surviving and he didn't have anything. So while Jinwoo was facing the Ice Elves, Chul tried to attack Jinwoo because Jinwoo knocked him out because he was about to kill all the party members that were eating and looked warm. So that's when Jinwoo summoned Egress to kill him and then made him a shadow because he needed the extra hand with the boss of the Ice Elves anyway.
Yeah, stuff like he had the abilities, but, you know, I digress. None of this makes any sense.
They're jumping. The pacing's everywhere, but we're not going to see that raid. I don't think we're going to see that raid this season.
Mm-hmm. Craziness.
Which is, it really, this should have had 24 episodes the first season, because it really sucks to know that the season's gonna end when he becomes the Shadow Monarch. It's gonna end with so much hype that you're gonna have to wait who knows how long until you get another season, because some of these shows don't get another season right away. But I did read that so many people downvoted the 7.5 recap episode, and the fact that we got a recap episode so soon, like, it broke Crunchyroll's record for most downvoted episode. But, like, I was annoyed about it too, but I wouldn't go out of my way to downvote it, because, like, oh. One comment I read is, like, I waited all week for a recap. First of all, it was noted a while ago that it's going to be a recap. I told you even before we had to watch the episode. So, the next episode is going to be a recap episode. It's not like every anime that ever came out had a recap episode. I'm sure people had other things to watch. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's just like when animes or mangas have holidays and you don't get an episode 1 week. Just watch something else, read something else, do something else. It is what it is. They needed a break. Did they need a recap episode? No, absolutely not. They could have just not gave us an episode. I would have been okay. But it, like I said, it is what it is. Would you like to go through Jujutsu real quick?
Pretty much Jujutsu. They were showing the behind the scenes of the plan for Sukuna, and apparently Sukuna's like losing interest in the fight because they weren't like Gojo, but then they're gonna get messed up here shortly, it feels like, for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, that was quick and easy.
Yes, sir. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Irby?
Nope. That pretty much sums it up.
Alrighty, well then, guys, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you next time. Peace!
Peace.